Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Beloved, this is Cornerstone Deliverance Church, and this is our Sunday school that we have every Sunday. Amen. At 12 p.m., amen, Eastern Standard Time. We are located at 830 Pepperidge Road in Westbury, New York, 11590. And our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. We invite you to peruse the website. There's a host of things up there to be able to bless you, empower you, edify you, and direct you into all righteousness. Praise God. We also want to give you the opportunity to download our church app from your Google Play Store or Apple Store, same way that you would download Facebook or LinkedIn, any other app that you may have. It is free, no charge unto you, beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, oh God, we commend this Sunday school lesson unto you and all those that have pressed their way, oh God, to be able to be in your presence, oh God, those that desire to hear from you, to suck from you, oh God, to be empowered by you, that desire your presence this day, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we ask that you meet every need of theirs according to your riches and your glory in Christ Jesus, and I ask that you anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, oh God. Put your word in my mouth, God. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, beloved, on today, amen, we welcome you all to Sunday school. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. So for me, it is good to be on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To get the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, amen, the text, the title of our text is Samuel's Leadership Brings Victory. Again, the name of the text today is Samuel's Leadership Brings Victory. Amen. And the golden text is from First Samuel chapter 7, verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Amen? Amen. Amen. And beloved, I want you to know that the Philistines was an enemy. Amen. A foe is an enemy, an enemy meaning that they were in the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Where the children of Israel lived. Amen. They inhabited Canaan. Amen. Praise God. And you will find that even those of us that are in Christ and have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we have been born of his spirit, we too have an inner foe. Amen. This is why the Philistines, amen, were so important. Amen. Our inner foe is the old man. Our inner foe is the flesh, praise God. And it is the Holy Spirit that wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against and lusts against the spiritual things. Amen. And so that old man is, hallelujah, enemy of God. The carnal mind, the old man, all of that is enmity to God. Amen. This is why we cannot operate in the old man to please God, because the old man does not want to obey spiritual things or God or the Holy Spirit. The old man does not want to be obedient. The old man can only serve the flesh and the things of the world. Praise God. Amen. And so I'm going to ask that you'll turn with me now to 1 Samuel, amen, chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want you to see today that the lesson outline, amen, today is going to be recovery of the ark. Amen. The ark of the covenant, amen, was taken by the Philistines when they lost the battle. Amen. When Eli's sons
amen, fought against the Philistines. They took the Ark of the Covenant into battle without God's permission. Amen. They did not acknowledge God. They did not ask God. They did not hear from God. They was doing what they wanted to do. They took the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the very presence of God at that time to the children of Israel. Amen. Those of us who faith is in Jesus Christ and his finished work at the cross and has received him as our personal Lord and Savior, it is your body that is the temple of the true and living God, because we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Amen. And his spirit dwells in us. Amen. The temple of God is where his spirit dwells. And so your body, amen, is the temple. Your body. Your body, amen, is the temple. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to give our body as a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. Hallelujah, beloved. And so at times we give our time. Whenever you give your time, you're giving your life where you're spending your life. Whoever you give your time to, and at times we give it to everything else but God. We are so busy, amen, that we'll give our time to and spend our life with everything else but God, amen. And then repentance is required. That's 1 Samuel 7:3-4. And then restoration begins. Amen. And so whenever, amen, the presence of God is lost, amen, Ichabod, amen, was the name of one of Eli's grandsons. And that meant that the presence of the Lord has left the house, amen. And I wonder how many churches or how many fellowships, amen, is still fellowshipping, still worshiping, but the presence of God is no longer there. My God, my God, my God. I personally do not want to operate or be able to worship in a place where the presence of God is not there. Amen. We're just moving out of familiarity. So, beloved, it is very important, amen, that the presence of God does stay with us. Amen. Praise God. And then once, if the presence of God is ever lost, in order to get it back, there must be repentance. Amen. The third outline is restoration begins. Amen. And that's 1 Samuel 7:5-8. And then request answered. And whenever one repents, when God answers, he answers and restoration comes. And that's 1 Samuel 7:9-12. Amen. I want to be able to take my time in this lesson. And for those of you that are just getting on the line, we are in 1 Samuel. Amen. And we're in chapter 7, and we will be reading from verses, amen, 1-12. Amen. And so I'm going to begin to read first. Amen. Let me give you some things that I want you to actually pay attention to. Amen. As we get into the text, just give me 1 minute. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to look at the facts first before we get into the scripture. The facts today is that we're going to acknowledge that those who desire to be blessed by God must love and worship him properly. Amen. And so the Bible tells us that there will come a time, and Jesus spoke these words to Mary Magdalene at the well, that there will come a time when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Amen. And so there is a proper way to worship God. We just can't worship him any way that we choose to and call it godly worship. Amen. And so this is why we have pastors, and this is why we come to Bible study, Sunday school, and fellowship, that we can learn the way of righteousness. Praise God. Amen. The principle is to realize that a cavalier attitude toward God or rejection of him will bring his wrath. Amen? And so the Bible tells us that the word of God is good for instruction and righteousness. It's good for reproof, rebuke. Amen? It's also, amen, good for correction. And so we have to realize that if correction comes, that we should not reject the correction. Or if we receive a word from God through his word or through his leader that aligns with what he has already written, amen. We ought not to get angry with the leader because it's not the leader that we truly have a problem with. You have a problem with being obedient to God, amen. And so that is the principle. The principle is to realize that a cavalier attitude toward God or rejection of him will bring his wrath, amen. And so when we reject wisdom, reject instruction and righteousness, it brings the wrath of God on us. And God does have a wrath, amen. Yes, God is love, but when you disobey him, my God, and so people don't want to hear this type of preach, amen, that if you disobey God, amen, that he has a wrath or that, you know, he does deal with those that disobey him. The disobedience to the word of God is sin. And, amen, and the wages of sin is death. People do not want to hear that, but we teach you this for the very saving of your soul, amen. And then third is the application, amen, because we ought to be not just hearers of the word of God, but doers of the word of God, amen. And so when we hear the word of God, amen, believing it is one thing, but walking it out and applying it, amen, when we're going through trials and tribulation and problems, that is another, amen. And so we want the grace of God to be able to apply what it is that, amen, we have heard from God, amen. And so the application is to remember that if we want God to bless us, then it is necessary to repent and acknowledge his total supremacy over our lives. Amen. It is necessary, beloved. And so we're going to read Recovery of the Ark. Amen. And we're going to start off with 1 Samuel 7:1 concerning the recovery of the Ark. And we're going to read to verse 2, amen. 1 Samuel 7:1 says, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Amen. And so, beloved, I wanted to take a look at some of this terminology. Amen. We're speaking here today about leadership. In this text, we're going to find that Samuel, amen, was raised up by God as a leader over the children of Israel, amen. And so it is good that we have leaders, amen, that has been raised up by God, anointed, appointed, chosen, and sent by God, and that also obeys the word of God. We need good godly leadership, amen. Some of us are leaders in our household because we're parents. Some of you, you own your own businesses, so you may be leading in that way. But however it is that you are leading, amen, the Holy Spirit should be leading your leadership, amen, because some of us, we like to believe that what does God have to do with business, amen? He is the God over the marketplace, praise God, amen. And the Bible tells us that he gives us wisdom to obtain wealth, and we're going to see that in Sunday service. But once you receive it, do not forget about God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want to speak to you a little bit about leadership is essential for any group, be it a nation, a family, or a church. All groups have leaders. There's an echo, so give me a minute. All groups have leaders, but the kind of leadership exercised in these groups is critical to their success. In recent years, many books have been written on leadership, covering various aspects of the subject in various contexts. Consequently, there are many definitions of leadership. Someone suggested that leadership is simply getting people to follow you. While that may be an accurate definition of the term in its broadest sense, it does not distinguish between good and bad leadership. Many leaders have been cruel and despotic, including some of the most infamous dictators in the history of the world. And so when we speak of that word despotic, beloved, amen, concerning a leader, that word means tyrannical, amen. And so there was leaders that was tyrants, amen. God does not call us, amen, as leaders in his church to be tyrants, amen. The way that we lead the people of God is through humility and servanthood. We serve them, amen. And so a tyrant is a cruel and oppressive oppressive ruler or leader. This is what a tyrant is, amen. Jesus was not a tyrant, amen. So those of us that is working as co-workers in the ministry with Jesus Christ, amen, we ought not to be tyrants, praise God, amen, hallelujah. We ought to lead as Jesus led. And so we see here, amen, within this text, amen, it says, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord. So it was Samuel that told them to go and get the ark, amen, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And so we already said that the ark of the Lord represented the presence of God, amen. It was a representation of God himself. We know that God is too big to dwell in that box, praise God, hallelujah. And we need to remember that we cannot put God in a box, praise God, that God is bigger than that, amen. But however he chooses to manifest himself to his people, amen, hallelujah, we ought to be grateful for his manifestations and how it is that he revealed himself, amen. But when they gave the ark and they took it to Abinadab, when they set someone over that ark to watch over the ark and keep the ark, amen, hallelujah, it was Eleazar, amen, and Eleazar was of the Levitical tribe, amen, and it says it was Abinadab's son to keep the ark of the Lord, amen, and so, beloved, amen, he had to be consecrated to be able to keep the ark of the Lord. Consecrated means to be set apart, amen, hallelujah. And so we have to be mindful, amen, that we need to be consecrated and set apart because we host the presence of God, the Spirit of God in our vessels of clay, amen. Listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has not changed concerning us being caretakers of his presence, amen. And are you guarding your heart? That being your spirit, amen, because God's spirit is lodged in your spirit, amen. So Eleazar, the son of Abinadab, was consecrated as the ark caretaker, and his business was to guard the ark, not only from being seized by malicious Philistines, but from being touched by curious Israelites, amen. He was to guard the ark, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God's name. Amen. And so I also want to touch base with you concerning this text. And it came to pass while the ark abode, amen, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. So it was 20 years that the children of Israel was without the active presence of God. And I say that because the world wants to believe that God is everywhere and that we all have access to his presence, amen. And that is true. He is an omnipresent God, amen, hallelujah. But the children of Israel had access to his active presence and not his passive presence. This means God chose them as his people, as he has chosen us and called us unto himself and sanctified us and set us apart and put his spirit in us, amen. He dwelt amongst the children of Israel, amen. And so what you're going to find, what took place, amen, during that time, amen, when God dwelt amongst them, amen, when they prayed, he answered. He met their need, amen. He wasn't just passive, he was active. So we all do see, like the world would see, we enjoy the sun, which God made. It's a blessing of God. We enjoy the moon. We enjoy the stars in the sky. Amen. We enjoy the many waters, amen, and the land and the vastness of all of God's creation, the trees and the animals. We enjoy all of that. God is providing, amen, for all the world, for those of us that be in Christ, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we don't just have the passive presence of God. We have the active presence of God where he calls himself our God and calls us his people. Amen. Hallelujah. And we have the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich and addeth no sorrow. So after 20 years of being without the Lord, amen, hallelujah, or the presence of God being active, the children of Israel, it says, amen, lamented after the Lord. Amen. Praise God. They begin to lament after the Lord. Amen. And beloved, just give me a minute, amen, because I want to, amen, that word lament, praise God. That word, just give me a minute, hallelujah. Amen. Lamented is a conventional way of describing someone, amen, who has died or something that has been lost or that has ceased to exist. Amen. And so they lost the presence of God due to their disobedience. Amen. But when someone laments, it is to express sorrow, mourning, or regret for often demonstratively. And so they was very demonstrative in expressing their sorrow and mourning and regret after the presence of the Lord. Amen. Because he, amen, was no longer with them. Amen. And they expressed this very thing to Samuel, who was their leader. Amen. Samuel, I want to speak to you about Samuel for a minute. Samuel was the ending of one era of leadership and the commencement of another era of leadership. Samuel was the last judge. Amen. And remember, in the Sunday school lesson, we've been reading about all the judges. Amen. And they're in the book of Judges. Amen. That God had anointed or raised up. Amen, to deliver his people. Amen. So Samuel was the last of the judges, and he also was the first prophet. Amen. And so we see that, amen, in the Bible that Elijah, amen, ran the school of the prophets, but the school of the prophets was founded by Samuel. Samuel, amen, was the first prophet, amen. And not only was Samuel judge and prophet, amen, Samuel's mantle was threefold because Samuel was also a priest, praise God. Remember, when Samuel's mother Hannah gave birth to him after she weaned him, she gave him to the temple of the Lord for service, praise God, amen. So Samuel was a spiritual and a military leader. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Judge was to repel invaders. This is what judges did. Judges was to repel invaders, amen? And so those that was invading the children of Israel, like the Philistines, the judges that was raised up was to repel the invaders, amen, that they do not oppress the people of God. I want you to listen to this. The fact that Samuel judged the children of Israel, and you see this in 1 Samuel 7, 6, meant that he led them. He was both a spiritual and military leader. The function of a judge during this period was more executive than judicial. Judge often paralleled ruler or prince, and one of the most common roles of the judge was to repel invaders. Amen, hallelujah. And so we thank God, amen. This is why we have to dig deep in the word of God to get an understanding, amen, of what it is that God is saying. So now we see here that the children of Israel was lamenting. They were sorrowful. They was mourning, amen, over, and they was regretting that they have lost the presence of God. They wanted the presence of God back, amen. And so Samuel sent some people, amen, to be able to go, to anoint, to get the Ark of the Covenant, take it to Abinadab's house, and then they assigned the son of Abinadab, amen, to do what? To care for the Ark of the Covenant. Listen, the presence of God is in you. He dwells in your vessel of clay. It is for you to care for the presence of God. It's for you to minister to the presence of God. It's for you to get into worship, amen, in the word of God, hallelujah, that you yourself can be developed in the presence of God, which is his spirit, amen? And that, hallelujah, you can come to know by way of the spirit, the new creation and the new creature that God made you to be when you are, now that you are born of the spirit, amen?
Amen.
Amen, beloved. So now let us look at how Israel turns to the Lord, amen, and I confer 1 Samuel 7:2, amen, and this is when they lamented over him and they wanted the Ark of the Covenant back. Now, beloved, I want us to look at this repentance, amen, because repentance is very important, amen? Praise God. How many of us believe today that repentance is important, amen? How many of us believe that? That repentance is very important. Amen. Whenever, amen, praise God, praise God, amen. Woman, let me read 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 before we get into that. Amen. Oh, no, I want to go back some. Praise God. I'm going to show you how important repentance is. Amen. Amen. Let us turn to Romans 2:4. Amen. I believe that some of us believe that we have the goodness of the Lord, that we want the goodness of the Lord, but we don't know why the goodness of the Lord comes. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to show you why God gives us his goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. And God gives us his goodness and his kindness that it may lead us to repentance. Praise God. Amen. So I'm going to ask that somebody read Romans 2:4. The first person to get it, just say amen, and I'm going to ask that you read it. Amen? Romans 2:4. Anybody have it? Beloved, when we come to Sunday school, I know that we're not meeting physically, amen, but you are in the presence of God. You should have your tools, your Bible, amen, hallelujah, that you amen. Can search the scriptures and that you can partake, amen. You should have your pen and your pad that you can also take notes, amen, because I'm spending time with you. I have set out time of my day to spend this time with you, and when I spend time with you, I'm spending my life. This is time that I cannot get back unless God decides to restore years. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I pray that you value the time that your leaders spend with you, because when they give you their time, whether it's in a text message, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in Bible study or service, they are spending their life. Amen. Hallelujah. They deem you to be valuable enough to give of their life to you. Amen. And so someone read for me Romans 2:4.
Or perhaps you despise his great kindness, tolerance, and patience. Surely you know that God is kind because he's trying to lead you to repent.
God gives us his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, and his kindness that we may be led into repentance, praise God. God is not blessing you for no reason. He's blessing you that you can be in right standing with God, amen? Hallelujah. So let's not despise the riches of his goodness. Let the riches of the goodness of God have his perfect work in your life, amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. What does 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 say? Let us look at that. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Someone pull it up. And what we're looking at now here is godly sorrow. Godly sorrow will make you repent, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And I'm going to give you examples of that in the Bible. Godly sorrow. So when we repent because we know that we have done wrong, or we know that it is of the original sin of Adam. Amen. Sometimes there's nothing that we have done but what we were born into. We were born shaped in sin, and we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we were born in need of a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. But now that we have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and we have been born of his spirit, and we have become a new creature, a new creation, we are not to continue on in sin. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
And so what does 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 say? Amen. A good godly leader is going to lead you this way. Amen. Hallelujah. What does it say? Somebody read it.
Amen. This one is 7, 8, 9. Okay. I have it here. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See,
amen.
That's it. Okay.
Go ahead and read it, woman of God. What else to say?
See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, and what indignation. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And so the examples that I want to give you of godly sorrow and worldly sorrow, because it's important that you see this. Remember, Jesus told Peter that you will deny me thrice before the cock crow. Amen. And so that was and then Peter was sorrowful. Peter was sorrowful for denying Jesus. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 26. And let us go to verse 75. Amen. Do everyone know in the Bible, amen, when Jesus, amen, was taken, amen, by the magistrate, that Peter denied him 3 times? Amen. They wanted to know, was you with Jesus? Someone also pull up the text when Peter denied Christ. I want us to read that too. Amen. We're not going to rush the lessons. Peter denied Jesus because this is Sunday school. Someone pull up that Matthew 27:3-5. Amen.
Okay. 3-5. Yep.
Right. Before you read that, I want to read this. Amen. I'm in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69-75. It says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.'" Amen. Listen, we sound like Jesus, or we ought to sound like him. Amen. But we have to be careful not to deny him to the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to be careful, my God. Amen. Because the Bible tells us that we are not to be ashamed of this gospel. We have to be careful to share it with everyone that we know, because this gospel is for everyone that will believe. We want to tell it everywhere, all the time, and to everybody, that they will have the right to eternal life and right standing with God. Amen.
Amen.
And verse 74 says, "Then he began to curse." This is Peter now. "Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word." Now I'm reading 75. It's okay. Amen. "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly." Amen? He went out and wept bitterly. What does Matthew 27:3-5 say?
Okay. 3. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. That was Matthew 26:75. And so Peter wept bitterly because he sinned and he against God. He denied the Christ. Amen. He swore, he cursed, because Jesus was about to be crucified. Amen. He was about to be judged, even though, amen, he did nothing wrong. Peter was not ready to die with Christ. even though he said one time, amen, that I will die for you, amen. Listen, God knew and Christ knew that Peter would not be able to drink of that cup. When it was time to die, Peter did not know him. But then later on in the text, amen, we see Jesus restoring Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He asked Peter again, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He asked Peter again, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, only you know. Amen. God is trying to get us to grow in love. Because sometimes we use that word love loosely. Amen. When Peter first said, I love you, amen, it was eros. Amen. Amen. And then when he said it the second time, it was philia. Amen. But when he said it the last time, Lord, only you know, it was agape sacrificial. I will not deny you again. I will die if I have to for this gospel that you have given up to us. Hallelujah. Who's willing to be a martyr for the gospel? Hallelujah. Who's willing to be in prison? Who's willing to be beat? Who's willing, hallelujah, to be in prison? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Peter had a godly sorrow, and this godly sorrow led him to repentance. Hallelujah. There are people that have done things to you that apologize, amen, but they go and they do the same thing all over again because they only sorry because they got caught. This is not a godly sorrow. It was not true repentance. And we're going to learn here that true repentance, amen, is a turning away, praise God. You're turning away from sin and evil, but you're also, amen, giving yourself right. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, so now, Peter was a good example of godly sorrow. It led to his repentance. And at this time, Peter went on with a great career. Amen. As an apostle, amen, preaching the gospel, winning many souls to Christ. But now Judas, on the other hand, Judas was a great example of worldly sorrow. Now listen, we learned today through the text, the Bible text, amen, in 2 Corinthians 7:9-10, that worldly sorrow will lead to death. Didn't we learn that? Well, Judas was one that turned Christ in for 30 pieces of silver, gave them up to the Sanhedrin, gave them up, turned them in. He kissed him and he betrayed him with a kiss to point out that this is the Christ. And then, hallelujah, Jesus asked Judas, brother, no, he said, friend, do you betray me with a kiss? Amen. How many people are betraying you with a kiss, and how many people did you betray with a kiss? Hallelujah, Jesus, my God. Beloved, we got to be mindful, amen, that we are on the right side, that we are on the Lord's side. We got to be mindful to walk according to the principles and the precepts of the word of God. And so Matthew 27:3-5, I want someone to read that because this is important. I want you to see, don't say Apostle Asia Hurd says, I want you to see what the Bible says. Amen? What is the Bible saying? What is God?
Amen. 25.
Praise God. It is not good to miss Sunday school. Praise God. Press your way. We are in a pandemic. God has set us still. Hallelujah, Jesus, my God. Amen. And so during this time, take out time to learn of him that you could come to know who God has called you to be. Amen?
Amen.
What does Matthew 27:3-5 say? Do everybody have a Bible on the line? Matthew 27:3-5. Amen.
Please
come on, help me out. Help the apostle out. What does it say, woman of God?
When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. Verse 4, I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself.
Worldly sorrow. Listen, no, look at that. Then he went away and did what? He hung himself. Amen? Worldly sorrow will bring you to death. That was the difference between Judas and Peter. Peter had a godly sorrow that brought him to repentance, and he continued on in the proclamation of the gospel even after the death and the resurrection of Christ. But Judas died. He was the son of perdition. He took his own life. It brought about death because the sorrow that he had was not spiritual. It was not godly, but it was worldly. Amen. People committed suicide. Worldly sorrow. For if it is godly sorrow, there comes a provision of grace to deliver you from evil. Come on now, somebody, and talk to me.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What I just picked up was world. I just picked up as you're reading. Worldly sorrow can mean shame. Will bring up the spirit of shame. And I believe in godly. When a person needs to repent, and you're serving God, God's repentance is to restore you so that you don't have condemnation or feel like you're a bad person. But I think what I picked up in this, in Matthew 27, that kind of worldly spirit was more so shame and everything that comes with it, unforgiveness could be. So maybe that could be the difference between the two.
Amen. And that is the difference. See, because the blood of Jesus is like spiritual Ajax. I know y'all use Ajax, Comet, whatever you use.
Amen.
But the blood of Jesus is like spiritual Ajax. It scrubs away the sin shame. Amen? And so wherever there is sin, there's going to be shame. Listen, in the Garden of Eden, when they disobeyed God and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what took place? They were shamed. Amen? They hid from God. They covered themselves with leaves. Amen. And God said unto Adam, Adam, where art thou? Amen. And so, yes, shame, amen, can cause for a person to commit suicide, will cause for a person to be helpless and hopeless. Amen. But the provision of God through grace, when he gives his goodness, is for the reason to bring about repentance, praise God. And that brings a provision to deliver you out of sin, from death, from shame, from hell, from the grave. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, brother, we have to be mindful, praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why when people are in, hallelujah, when there is a spirit of suicide working, we must pray, praise God. Amen? Listen, this week I ministered to a dear friend of mine, amen, hallelujah, and when I was ministering to them, they was able to say that they believed but was not able to repeat the sinner's prayer. I began to bind the enemy, amen, because the Bible says that the gospel is hidden from those in the world because the enemy blinds them and binds them. I began to walk in the authority that God has given me, and then he was able to confess. Amen, hallelujah, and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen, and then we began to rejoice. Amen, and so, beloved, God gave us authority and power over what? Over demons, over evil, over spiritual wickedness. You have to know how to go forth that the people can be free. You have to walk in the dominion and the authority that God has given unto you. Amen. And so let us look at Isaiah 55, 6 through 7. Amen. Isaiah 55, 6 through 7. Amen. And I'm going to read that. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. This is repentance. The wicked must forsake their way. And people say, well, I'm not wicked. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked and evil. Who would know it? Amen. Hallelujah. You was born wicked. You was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You was born with a condition that you could not help. Hallelujah. Even the best person, amen, you could have done all the things right in your life like Cornelius, amen, in Acts 10. He was a good man, amen, gave alms to the poor, prayed. But he still needed to hear the gospel, and he still had to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. So God sent an angel to him to call for Peter, and Peter was able to give him the gospel. And as Peter preached, the Spirit of the Lord fell down upon the house of Cornelius, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Amen. Hallelujah. We must give the word of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Isaiah 55:6-7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Amen. It says, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Listen, the grace of God to abundantly pardon your sin, it don't matter how you sinned, what you did, how much you did, how bad it was, whether you was a rapist, whether you was a murderer, a child molester, whatever it is, God is able to pardon your sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I just want to read this really quick. 1 Samuel 7, this leisure time is getting away from us. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods. They was worshiping gods in the land. They had statues. Some people that come out of Catholicism, they worship. They have the saints that they pray to. That is not biblical. Jesus is the only intercessor. You can't pray to the saints. The saints are dead. Amen. Hallelujah. They are not the mediator between God and man. Amen. So that is an error that the Catholic Church has led the people to believe that they can pray to the saints and that the saints will help them. Mary can't help you. Hail Mary, full of grace. Mary was great. She was full of grace. She was the mother of Jesus. But Mary, too, needed Jesus as a Savior. Mary is dead, praise God. And Mary will not come alive again until that trump. Amen. Until Jesus stepped on the cloud. Amen. And we all are caught up. Amen. At the rapture. Amen. And so we have to be mindful. Amen. So he's telling them here, put away your strange gods. And just put away the strange gods and Asherah from among you and prepare your hearts. Amen. And so two of the gods that they worship, amen, they worship five other gods like the Philistines did. But Asherah was one and Baal was another. That was two of them that was highly worshipped. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord. You have to prepare your heart, turn your heart unto the Lord, and serve him only. There shall be no other God. Our God is a jealous God. He don't want you serving no other God but him.
Amen.
And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asherah, and serve the Lord only. Amen? Now, I want us to read. I'm going to give you this. Repentance involves more than just an apology. Amen? This is why sometimes people wrong you and they apologize. Amen? And you know, but it doesn't change anything in your heart. This is why you got to be mindful that when you give forgiveness, is you not buying it. Amen? Sometimes you want to tell people, apologize to me, so that I could forgive you. You can't forsell forgiveness. Forgiveness is free. It's something that you give away. Amen? And when you forgive, God will lift the burden of whatever the trespass was against you from your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. So we ought to be able to forgive without looking for apology, because true repentance is not just an apology. Repentance demands an action. It is not simply turning away from sin. It also involves turning to the Lord. So when you turn away from sin, you have to turn to the Lord, because only the Lord, his word, his spirit can keep you. Amen?
Amen.
It is not only forsaking evil, but also actively pursuing righteousness. How do we pursue righteousness? We must pursue the word. We must pursue the presence of God. Amen? Repentance is best illustrated as turning away from sin and turning to God. This is a constant action. Submit unto God and resist the devil, he will flee. Amen. Acknowledge God in all your ways and he will direct your path. Listen, beloved, you just can't do this today. You got to be willing to do it every day, every moment of the day. Hallelujah. In every situation and circumstance that you're going through, when things get hard, you have to be able to submit to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Israelites is an example of worshiping God and God alone. They're a good example of that. There are many distractions in our lives that vie for our attention. There are a lot of things trying to get your attention. Amen, hallelujah. But God will not take second place. You need to know this. God wants to be first. Amen. Listen, that's why in church they say, oh, first lady, I don't want to be the first lady. I want to be the only lady. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Christ, we are the only lady in his life. We are the bride of Christ. Whether you are the he-man or the she-man. Amen. Praise God. If we want to receive his blessing, we must devote ourselves entirely to him. He does not allow his people to worship him and anything else at the same time. Amen? So you can't be straddling in a fence. If you're straddling a fence, that's called lukewarm. The Bible says that he will spit you up, vomit you out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like you bad food. He will spit you up, vomit you out, says the word of God. Amen? And so, beloved, you want to be mindful, amen. So after repentance came restoration, amen, we got 10 minutes. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, amen. I'm in, where am I, amen? I'm in Samuel, let me go back so you can follow along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. This is where I'm reading from, beloved, so you can follow, okay? And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. So Samuel is stepping into his place as the leader. As a priest, amen, I'm going to pray for you. Amen, hallelujah. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. The enemy will always try to kick you when you're down, amen? And listen, they was afraid of the Philistines because the Philistines had won war against them before, amen? So if you ever lost a battle against an opponent before, sometimes going back into a battle with the same opponent, there is fear, amen? Hallelujah. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Verse 8 says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. A good leader is praying for the sheep. You are the sheep. Hallelujah. You are. Amen. And so this is what I do. I pray for you by the grace of God. You're praying for their deliverance, for yourself keeping, that you be kept from evil. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Confession. Amen. There are various places in the Bible named Mizpah. The name simply means look out or watch over. And that's what a leader does for the sheep. He looks out, he watches over. That's what Samuel was doing for the children of Israel. The Bible tells us to do what? Watch as well as pray. You can't just pray, you got to be watching. Amen. This particular Mizpah was less than 10 miles. Amen. I don't want to get into that. I want to get into the pouring of water before the Lord. The pouring of the water before the Lord was symbolic of their repentance. It was just like us being baptized in water. This is why once you repent, the Bible tells you to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The baptism is a submission. So for the children of Israel, this was like our baptism. Amen? So what the people did was not unusual. Amen? What did they do? Matthew Henry says that it signified their humiliation and contrition for sin, acknowledging themselves as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Another suggestion is that they were denying themselves liquids as a symbolic confession that the Lord's favor was more important to them than life-sustaining water. Amen. Fasting from food was frequently practiced during times of national repentance. On the Day of Atonement, when blood was sprinkled on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the entire nation was required to fast. This is why we have corporate fasting, amen, at Cornerstone Deliverance Church. Beloved, listen, request answer. We reading fast. We got 6 minutes. We on verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Listen, when we cry out to God, we want to be heard. How are you going to be heard? You must be behind the veil. Who is the veil, or where is the veil? It's not like it was for the tabernacle that the children of Israel had. So that veil rent it when Jesus died. The veil is now the flesh of Christ. In order for you to be heard by God, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You have to have accepted him as Lord and Savior and believe that he resurrected. Amen? And then are you baptized into his body by way of his spirit, the Holy Ghost, fire and baptism, amen. You are now behind the flesh of Christ, and now you have unlimited access, amen. It is important that you be born again, amen. And verse 10 says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Now listen, when the thunder of the Lord came, amen, it confused them. It made the Philistines, amen, that was not afraid, it made them afraid, praise God. Listen, the children of Israel did not win this battle. God won the battle for them, amen. They was not able to pursue their enemy until God first subdued the enemy. Ooh, hallelujah. Let God fight your battles. He says, vengeance is mine, and I will recompense. Hallelujah. Let God repay. Let God repay. Amen. Don't you revenge yourself, because when you revenge yourself, you put the hands of God. Bless your enemy. Pray for your enemy. Let God recompense. Amen.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Verse 12 says that Samuel took a stone and set it on between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer. And Ebenezer means what? Ebenezer means stone of help. Stone of help, praise God. Thank you for my help, Jesus. Saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Amen? And so, beloved, once God delivers us, we also need to remember. They set up a memorial so they could remember how God delivered them from their enemy. Amen. At Mizpah, and Samuel called it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen, beloved. Amen. And so I want to leave you with, it's time to go. We got 3 minutes, but I want to leave you with these practical points of scriptures so that you can study them in your own time. Amen. These are practical points that I want you to remember from this teach. God has prepared a plan that restores our broken fellowship with him. If your fellowship has been broken, as long as you have the breath of life, it's not too late for you. Amen. God has set a plan in place to restore your fellowship with him. Amen. And you find that in 1 Samuel 7:1-2. That is the scripture to read. Amen. The second practical point, we are to worship the Lord, and he is the only one we are to serve. You're going to find that in 1 Samuel 7:3-4. The third point is true repentance prepares the heart to return to the Lord and obey his word. Amen. And you're going to find that in 1 Samuel 7:5-6. The fourth point is Satan will attack believers during times when they are most vulnerable. Amen? And you're going to find that in 1 Samuel 7:7-8, beloved. Be on guard. When you're most vulnerable, the enemy will attack you. He will kick you when you're down. He don't care. Praise God. The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Verse 5 said God, amen, be mindful. Amen. Verse 5 said God delivers his people, but we should not take his goodness and grace for granted. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Know that his goodness and grace and kindness came to bring you to what? To repentance. Amen.
To repent.
Amen. 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 So you want to find that in 1 Samuel 7:9-10. And 6 says, this is the last practical point. We should keep memories of God's mercies alive and fresh. Once God has delivered me, it is a memorial unto me. And when I'm going through, I remember the victories that he has won for me, and it gives me, amen, hallelujah, the joy of knowing
hallelujah,
he did it
Jesus.
Then, he'll do it again. He may not do it the same way, but I know I'm coming out. I know that all
hallelujah.
Things are working together for the good, for those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, if there's anyone on the line today that needs to, amen, be dedicated back to God. You need to restore your fellowship with him. Amen. I ask that you repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, here I am, a sinner in my sins. Come into my heart. I believe you died for my sins. I believe that you are Lord, and I believe that you resurrected. And I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. And I promise to serve you the balance of my days. If you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, amen, beloved, I tell you, your worship of God has been restored. But now you have to constantly turn to God and walk in the path of righteousness. Amen. Continue to join us in fellowship that you may be blessed. Amen. Eternal Father, I cover your children under the blood. Those that are pressed their way to come out to Sunday school. Father, you know their hearts. You know the onslaught and the attack and the wiles of the enemy against them, but you are their deliverer. You shall revenge them, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for keeping them, for watching over them, O God, for being their deliverer, for being the lifter of their head. Receive the blessing of the Lord that makes you rich and add no sorrow. You shall have no sad stories to tell. Amen. Beloved, this is the end of Sunday school. Amen. We're going to log out to come back on for 1 p.m. worship service. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Tell someone else to log in. Send them a text message that they may be blessed, for there is a word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Agape love, beloved. Agape love.